Good morning. I want to thank the singing group and how they've just led us in worship. Let's show them one more time how they've been awesome. I want to welcome everyone to Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. We have a brother and sister visiting from Nigeria. That is Kenny and Tina Okewers, if I got it right, I think. Over there. Yesterday, we had a tremendous time with the leadership group. That's the family group leaders, and we had a fantastic time. And I want to share a little bit about the theme of 2020. That is, we're going to focus on God made it grow. Let me just read a scripture and explain where we're coming from with this. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. This is our theme of 2020, and that is that God makes things grow, but there is what we do as a church. We put down the seed, we water, and that is our role. When you understand that well, we're not saying that we're done with being a safe space, being authentic, showing care, showing help, but rather we're going to work with all that through connection, being vulnerable, putting our minds to it, our heart, really loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then loving our neighbor, and God makes it grow. Amen? So while God does all that, there is our part that we have to play. We have to really learn to put down the seed. We have to learn to water. But God then makes it grow. Does that make sense? In a sense then, you have to hear what God is saying to you, to your heart, how he can use you. But as well, understand that it's not upon you, it's you to practice your faith. And today's class, this morning class we had today about just how to survive this year of election, it's an amazing example of practicing your faith in your office, at home, with your neighborhood, and how God can use that to help you bring many to know him. Amen? So that's our theme. So I want you to really, as a church, let us remember that this is the year of growth. But growth does not start outside. It starts with me. It starts with you. If you're not growing, it's very hard to help anyone else to know God. Does that make sense? And so you cannot say, I've done my bit. No, you have to start growing. So let's talk about that today, where that will start. We're going to start with my heart determines my growth. Let's talk about this for a moment. Here in Proverbs 23:27 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. I want to ask you something today. Do you know how you feel right now? How do you feel right now? Do you take time to pay attention to your feelings so that you can guard against just anything walking through your emotions? Do you take time? You know the way we guard our thoughts? Do you take time to guard how you feel so that you're able to steady yourself through the Word of God? And say, I know that's what I feel, but what does the Bible say? And then you come back to, here's what God says about me and my feelings. You see, one of the things we have to do better this year is not let the emotions dominate, control everything, but guard our hearts and guard how we feel. You do that through Scripture. You don't do that through any other way. You have to have the right Scriptures in place. So when you're feeling one way, say, but what does God call me to think like? Then you begin to change to guard your heart. Keep your mouth free from perversity. When your heart is in the right place, the language you'll follow. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Then you'll find that even in a very political or whatever place that is heated, you'll be a place, you'll bring words of peace in that space. Because of your guarding your how you feel. If you don't check how you feel, then it controls you. It becomes your way of living. You have to bring your feelings back to biblical principles of how to behave, how to think. Sometimes I'm feeling so just discouraged, but when I begin to look at the Bible, my emotions begin to turn around. Because I said, this is the truth. Why am I letting the lies that are controlling my emotions take over? Let me take the truth of the Word of God, begin to shape how I am feeling. So most of the time, the reason we're not growing is emotions have really dominated our space of our being. So we don't know how to grow from that place. We're just captive of what's going on there. But we've got to bring the Bible in that space and memorize it and talk about it until we are in a different space. That's how you do it. Let your eyes look straight ahead and fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the path for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. I mean, if we're going to keep our hearts guarded, we have then to say, what is the path we'll walk? Is it the path of discouragement or what God says about that? Is it the path of faith or the path of just giving up? The path of fear or the path of, you know what, I'll have courage because the Word of God says, do not be afraid. You see, this is a year for us to change, to grow, is we also have to invest heavily in our biblical understanding of Scripture, but also applying it on our hearts. And when I say applying it on our hearts, it's applying it to how you feel. We apply things to our mind, but we got to apply it to how we feel. It's very important that your feelings begin to come along. That's when victory begins to register in your life and God begins to use you as you grow. Amen? So, let's go. Keep going here. So, my heart determines my growth. If your feelings are everywhere, there's no growth there. If you're just growing with how, if you're going with how you feel all the time and not what the Bible tells you, you'll have no hope because then the feelings take over and you're just discouraged all the time. Secondly, what are you doing? This was not edited. So, what are you doing to protect your heart? Let's talk about this for a moment. Mark 7:20-21 says, he went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. This is Jesus talking about these issues of sin. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil come, sexual immorality, theft, and murder. So you see that what really, when we behave, it's a reflection of our heart. And yet we tend to just focus so much on how we think. That's important. But the heart is very important because it reflects our character as we journey on life. A lot of what you do is just your heart has been convinced that this is what to do. But you haven't let your heart check that with Scripture. So he says it's not what comes in that makes us sick. It's what comes out of our heart. It's from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. So at some point, the thoughts took root to the heart. Why? Because they were not checked with Scripture. That's how it took root. At some point, whatever is corrupt in the heart took root. Why? Because there was nothing there to check it. And if you think carefully, when you're angry, at that point, you're not letting the Word of God be this guide your emotions. You're letting anger control your emotions. When you're just hating someone, at that point, it has nothing to do with the Word of God. It is the emotion of hate that has taken root into your heart. You see, if you take time and realize how your heart has been controlled, it's because the Word is not taking charge of that heart and saying, wait a minute, that's not the way to go. We're not actively guarding our hearts. We think about it, but we're not actively applying to how do I feel. You see, one of the things I really put down is when I go to pray, I want to leave that space with a different heart. And this morning I was praying and I felt so peaceful. And I felt the peace of God. And sometimes I'm not always in that space. And I said, what's the difference? I'm applying myself more to Scripture. And this is not to be said, this is not something you do as a young Christian or as an old Christian. This is a Christian lifestyle. It's food for your heart. If you don't take the Word of God to apply it on your emotions, then even as an old Christian, it just runs wild. You have to apply the Word constantly to how you feel. That's when you come to a good space. Amen? So what are you doing to protect your heart? That is something I want to put to you today, and you can only do that when you apply the Bible to your heart. I will go further and say that I want to challenge us this year to read the Bible in such a way that it applies to you. I've seen people reading Revelations when they're struggling with something else right here. Or they're reading Numbers and they're struggling with issues right here. Just to say, I read the book of Numbers. How many of you have read Numbers? That's not the point. We're not in a game of proving I've read Revelations, you've never read Revelations. I've read Numbers, you've never. That's not the point. It's the point is to let the Bible transform our lives. The point is not to prove I've read from Genesis to Revelations 10 times and you've never applied it to your heart. You've got to apply it to your heart. What's the point of reading it and not letting it transform you? That is applying it. Applying means you're submitting at some level to it. Amen? We'll get to it in a moment. Don't ignore your heart. Let's talk about this. Do you ignore how you feel by rationalizing it? I'm just angry for a moment. Yeah, but what does the Bible say for that moment? I'm not even sure I believe what the Word of God says. Well, why have you lost faith? Romans talks about faith comes from hearing the Word of God. What's going on there? I'm not sure I like my family. Oh, wait a minute. Read the Bible and see what it talks about families. I'm not sure God can use me to help anyone know God. Wait a minute. It says you water, put the seed down, He makes it grow. He doesn't put that on you. Does that make sense? So the question then becomes, the reason that we're sometimes not growing is because we're simply not thinking about our heart. We think a lot about how we look. So many of us today thought through what you're putting on, right? You did, and you'll do it tomorrow. You went through the mirror. I have a question. Do you think about your heart like that? Do you realize the Bible is the mirror? And how many of us go to the mirror and notice that something is off and just walk away? I mean, you look at the mirror, you realize, wait a minute, I need to shave my beard. They're all over the place. I do. In the same way, we look at the Bible, we need to adjust our hearts. Our hearts need to be adjusted, given that nourishment. That's the whole purpose of a quiet time. To sit down in the morning and read the Bible is to adjust your heart to say, wait a minute, I think something is off here. I need to get back to peace. I need to be joyful. I need to be loving. I need to leave this place exuding Christ, not resentment, anger, discouragement, just critical, giving up on everything. I have no hope. What happened to me? Because I'm not applying the Word of God to my heart, and I'm letting the reality determine my emotion, not the Word of God. The reality will always be there, but you can rise above that reality if you apply the Word of God to you. Too many people have surrendered to the emotions and to all the things that take charge. Why? Because the heart is not being applied to the Word of God. And I do better some days than others. Some days I'm doing terribly. I'm like, I'm not applying myself. I'm letting just emotion run me down. Then I apply and I'm like, oh my goodness, the power has been here all along. Why am I not applying it to myself? I go through that from time to time. So a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in the heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So then our heart is a store. Our heart is a store. It's the pantry in the house. If the pantry is empty, the people are going to be hungry in that house. If the pantry is full of good food, people are going to be okay in that house. So if your heart is a store, when is the last time you looked at what's in the store? When is the last time you looked at what's in the store? And did you even arrange it properly? Or is it so hard to figure it out because you get in the store and you're just throwing things around? My wife is good at helping me organize things. She likes organized things, so if you want to look for it, you just find it like this. She's very organized in that sense. So she's organized the house. If she says, you can go get it in this place, if you go, you're going to find it right there. Now, sometimes I lose my keys. Where are my keys?
And Skip says, honey, can you just put the keys over here? That's where you'll find it all the time. And I don't always remember.
I'm walking around. Where are my keys? I'm up in the office. I said, okay, let me look at it. Because if she doesn't help me look for it, the whole house will be upside down. In the name of, we're looking for the keys. We're looking for the keys. I need to go, but we're looking for the keys. You waste so much time looking for the keys because you just don't put it where it's supposed to be. Well, I'm an old man. I can do what I need to do. Well, you know, now you're being proud and just being stubborn.
I think that that is a condition for our hearts, for some of us, that we don't know what's in the heart. And when we're looking for God's will, we can't find it because it's not ordered. So we actually get more confused. It's messed up way more. And you sometimes need to speak to another soul for order to come back. You have the Word of God. You need another soul just for order to come back. I ask you to begin to store into your heart godliness. Really, fight for that. Fight for that and connect with God. And you'll be amazed how life, the same life, will have so much hope. Same life will have so much victory. Same life, you'll have so much, you'll be able to tell people about God. You'll be able to share what God is doing in your life so much because you see it, you experience it. You're not dead in that space. It's the heart that needs to grow, resuscitate, so that we can experience God. Amen? It's your heart. Don't ignore it. We like to ignore the heart and walk with the mind and activity and walk with the outside world. No! Walk with the heart. That's where it all starts. Walk with the heart. And for some of us, that's a lot of work, a lot of pain. But with God and the right friends, you come around that space of experiencing God in a very joyful way. Don't run away from how you feel. You know, sometimes I'm angry and I don't know why. Then I think about it and I say, oh, it's because I'm judging so much. I'm not empathizing. That's what I need to do. When I empathize, it just changes. When I'm judging so much, I'm angry because I feel entitled in that space. Let's talk about taking care of your heart and your store for a moment here. Take care of your heart consistently. Let's talk about this. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. At the proper time, what you sow is what you reap. So, if I'm not putting anything in the heart, I'm not getting anything out of the heart. If I'm not putting the Word of God in the heart, I'm not getting it back. It's not even there. And it's possible that we think that the Bible is useless. It's powerful. Let me demystify this. Why is it, those of you, and many of us can relate to this, if somebody tells you, I love you, and they really mean it, you feel something. You feel loved, right? Don't you? But what did they say? They said it with the words, right? So if you read the Bible and understood that God is talking to me, to you directly, not to us, God is talking to you. When you personalize Bible study like that, it changes you. It actually changes you. When you read it as, oh, this is just something that we are told is a good idea, it's not a good idea. It's the Word of God. Personalize it for you. Ask yourself, how does this mean? What does this really mean for me? It transforms your life. I have a quote here that says, in God we trust, all others we have, all others we virus scan. There are many half-truths that have viruses in the system that are taking us away from God. These viruses are beginning to take the Christian's faith, the Christian heart, the Christian mind, the Christian strength away from God. And I think that for some of us, we don't truly, truly, truly trust God 100%. If God is God, why am I suffering? That's the question we ask. We tend to think that if God is God, we should not suffer. You forget that this is the God that allowed Jesus, his only son, down on the cross, that was suffering, to save us. So you're warped in the thinking because you think it has to be perfect for it to be about God. God is not about bribing us. God is about helping us find Him and be strong in our character, attitude, and faith. So those viruses come in the system because we have this warped thought about, but here's what some people say on internet, and here's how many millions of people like that. No, the truth is always the truth. I don't care how many people say that the virus does not exist. One pastor knows they exist. The wife knows that the man exists there. And we all know he exists, right? We can't fight that. Even though we ran a campaign online that he does not exist, the man exists. So this virus that thinks that, because many people agree with me, it must be true, it waters down the truth of God's principles. And the Bible simply says here, you know what? What you water, if you sow it, it'll come right back. But consistently doing the right thing at the proper time, it will come back. That's another conundrum. Because we like to have a certain time, it'll come back. But character does not change if it's only been done for a certain time. Character changes when we've stopped measuring it, because this is who we are. How many of us measure our names all the time? Is this me? Is this me? Is this me? Is this my name? Is this my name? How many of us do that? It's who we are. When you change, now this is who I am. You start really changing. Does that make sense? So, consistently, it's not reading the Bible on Monday, on Wednesday, and on Sunday. And on Sunday, that is when the preacher is preaching. It's not that you didn't even read the Bible. So I'm going to go to church. We like to say, I don't need to read the Bible. We're going to talk about it at church anyway. What happened to personal engagement? So I want to encourage you to begin to hear God on Monday, because He has something for you to say. On Tuesday, He has something for you to say to you, because He wants to be connected to you. He wants to hear you on Wednesday, and He wants to say something to you as well. The idea that I am tired, I don't want to do this, that is you letting the heart dominate and win without letting the Word of God direct you. If you did that well, not just as a Christian, and you applied it to your business, you applied it to your life, you applied it to everything you undertake, you'll be amazed at how different your life will be in 2020. Amen? So there's some veils I'd like to talk about that cover the heart as we talk about just taking care of the heart. I'd grow the veil of certainty. In other words, I don't want to come to anything that I'm not sure it'll happen. That's a veil that today is very common. I want to be sure it'll happen on this time, at the time I said. If it doesn't happen, I'm not coming to that. And so many people, in the quest of I control life, they're actually losing faith. You know, many of us are so afraid to experience life, so we sit in our small corners. We no longer step out in faith. We are afraid because we failed before. We are afraid to talk to any stranger because what if the stranger doesn't like me? We are afraid to confess because what if people think of me in a funny way? We are afraid to grow and change from our past history, and we like to claim how our parents did different things, and all that's not good, but we can't blame them forever. We're supposed to forgive them and keep growing, amen? Yeah. And we can go on and on in this story of being veiled. The veil of certainty is that it takes away faith. How do I know? You'll have to trust God on that. The Bible says, and without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who honestly seek Him. When you tell people, just trust God, why should I trust God I have not seen? I like to say, do you believe in love? Yeah. Why do you trust in something you can't touch? You just feel it. You see, I am testing your theory of challenging God's truth. God is real. We go to bed, we wake up because of God. We don't know how the future is, and that's the problem. We want to know the future. God never tells us the future, but He can equip you to go through the future with faith and hope. So that's the story of Joseph when he's being told he'll be king and he's going through so much stuff, but he trusts in God, and it happens eventually. Now, let's face it. If you were David,
and you asked to be king, and then for 40 years you never became king, in the 21st century you'd say, he's never going to be king.
Because things change so quickly right now, right? No, God is very different in that space. It's real. It's about your heart. You cannot game God. Certainty, the idea that I can only worship because I know this is what I will get, then you're not here for God. You're here for yourself. God wants you to be here for him, not for yourself. But it's funny. When you give yourself to God, the Bible says in Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom is righteousness, and all these things are given to you. So you don't come with that mentality. You come for knowing God, and God begins to turn everything around. Does that make sense? See, the issue is we've lost that aspect of the mystery of God. Because we can explain why people run. We can explain why you can do heart surgery and live. We can explain how you can do we can explain a lot of things. But that doesn't mean that we know how that works. We have to have faith in God. Simple faith. The idea that God has me. He has a plan. The Bible says that. And I believe that. If you don't believe that, you struggle with simple things as just, you know, God, I trust you for today. So you don't even leave the house because you're afraid. Why would I go out? You're so discouraged, you let that stop you leaving the house. In Hebrews 11, the Bible, in verse 1, it says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Some of us don't live in faith at all. We live in what we see and what we can touch. That's so limiting. That's so limiting. We have so much limiting belief, we cannot raise above it. So we don't exert ourselves, energize ourselves, because we feel like, what's the point? We've lost faith. We've got to come back. And faith comes from hearing the word of God, but applying it to your heart, to how you feel, to how you can read the Bible many times over mentally, but never apply it to how you feel. That's a very different space. You know, it's like going to a concert and watching a musician, right? And he gets out there and a musician is doing his own great stuff, and some people will watch and then just criticize how their choreography and how they look and all that sort of stuff. Well, that's all they're saying, what's wrong with it? But another one will be at that place, and when they get to the chorus, they join in, man, they're singing like nobody's business. Like, yeah, let's go again, more time. They're connected with the heart. So did you notice his hair was falling off? I didn't notice that stuff. We had a good time. When your heart is not in the right space, you go after tangible stuff. You're in the concert, but you're not experiencing it. You're in the tangible space. So you're losing out. And you wonder what's going on. I think I want to bring that, and I think that it's harder for a teenager to do it. It's harder for a young person to do it because maybe you've not experienced life as much, but I want to let you know that you can have faith in God. It's a veil that takes over. Let's talk about one other veil, outgrow the veil of independence. You know it's good to be independent. Amen? It's good. There's good independence. As in, hey, you got to have some level of, you don't want to be taken care of forever. Does that make sense? It's good to have your own thoughts, your own feelings, your own stuff. That's good stuff. It goes crazy when you don't want to live with anybody. Let's say I live in the same house. Okay, I live in the same house with my kids right now. And I said to them, don't talk to me because I'm independent right now. Don't talk to me. Then it starts going the wrong direction. Does that make sense? But that can grow in our spirit as well. If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who discipline us, and we respect them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirit and life? The point is, when you're independent, you can't submit to God. Because why would you submit to someone who's taking away what you feel is good for you? You can be mature, but also learn to connect with God in a mature way. Because you trust him, because you know this is the best thing. And yes, some stuff that you go through is tough, but he says it's discipline as a father. So if you don't embrace that aspect, then you will claim independence and walk away from God very quietly. In other words, you will resist the word of God, You resist some issues about God, and you feel like, I don't need to submit to God in that sense. But it's a veil, because you really want to do what you want to do. So it's hard for you to say, God, but help me do this. I know that I have gone through that journey many times over. As a single person, I really enjoyed my life. And I thought I was doing pretty fine until I got married. Then I realized I need to share my time with my wife. And I thought, wait a minute, is that necessary? We love each other. We're in the same house. Why should I come home at this time? Why should we eat the house together? Why should I manage the finances? So I had to grow in all that space. So you grow, you change. Then you think, I'm doing pretty fine. And the children come. The one child, you think, oh, we're doing. Then you realize, oh my goodness, I have such a hard time handling life with a child and my wife and all that stuff. And what's all that stuff? And this one child. And for a good 1 year, I couldn't figure out why I was unhappy. But I couldn't know that I was trying to figure out who I was with the child being there. Then I really grew and I was doing well in that area. Then the second child comes and again starts struggling. And God bless you if you have 13 children. I put that out because I think my family was 12, so I don't know. Maybe it's 13 and more and all that stuff. But I say that to you because I think that what you don't realize that you're happiest when you're giving. You're not happiest when you're independent and shielded out. Ask people where they thrive. They'll tell you, I'm happy when I'm doing this. I'm happy when I'm giving. They're never happy when they're just sitting alone. They're happy when they're giving to themselves something. That's when you grow. But sometimes we just have to grow and say, okay, what is God saying to me? Not everything I do is easy, but I am learning to submit to God. Does that make sense? So there are some godly things that we all need to grow in. Think about that in 2020 and ask yourself, how will I grow in this? And not just be totally independent. Be a part of a family group. Be a part of relationships. Be a part of connecting with the body of Christ. How will I grow in that area and connect and being present and coming on time and having a good time? Amen? Finally, but not least, outgrow the veil of self. All things are worrisome. More than one can say, the eye never has enough to see of seeing, nor the ear is full of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There's nothing new under the sun. It's funny how at some point in your life you think you're the vanguard of everything. I don't know about anyone who's never done that. I used to feel like that at 14 years of age. I felt like I was the vanguard. I knew the stuff. At 16, I knew the stuff. At 17, I knew the stuff. And as you talk to older and more mature people, sometimes you're doing this stuff and you're not saying anything. They just know, you know, we've been there, so we can't judge this guy. We can just, let's walk together. Let's walk together. The self is such a huge point at this point. It's a veil that becomes very strong. And it's hard to hear somebody else speak because you think, but I know to be true, this is for me. And I say, but what does God say about that? I say this because for us to build an intergenerational congregation, we have to understand where we've all been and love each other as we make these changes. Does that make sense? And I say that because I think that it's possible for you to think you're doing something new. The Bible says nothing is new in principle. This is Solomon, the wealthiest man in the world, writing this stuff. He was so wealthy, nobody can keep up with him to this day, if we could quantify that today. Nothing new. If you look at the fashion, you can look at fashion and you'll go back from the 60s, 50s, and see how we've recycled the stuff. We say, it's new. We're like, yeah, let's look at some pictures back in the 50s. Oh, okay. There are people that look like that. You understand that? So, not to put down on your fashion. I love your fashion, but it was there before. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It was there before. You know, we've gone through the no beards, more beards. It was there before. We've gone through to, I'm falling behind here. My hair is still down, but the hair is coming back. But it was there before. Does that make sense? All these things were back and forth, back and forth. What's my point? My point that humbly go through life knowing that somebody else has done it before. And so you can always learn and get better and grow. We're not the first. It's been done before. Let us walk together in love, patience, and God's name will be glorified. Amen? God bless you.